The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
No Gil Alexander today. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Gil. I'll be back here tomorrow as well. Gil returns from vacation on Monday. We do have a good hour on tap. Joe Sheehan's going to join us, talk a little Major League Baseball. We got a lot of good storylines coming out of MLB over the last couple of days, last couple of weeks. Cardinals continue to flame out. We'll talk about that and much more. And, of course, Daniel Alvari, WNBA season is underway. A lot of good betting topics to discuss in the Women's National Basketball Association, including she has dubbed them the Baby Fever, but they continue to cover games and are very competitive. Indiana Fever, thought to be one of the worst teams in the WNBA, actually showing out almost every single night. But we begin with the NBA, because the NBA draft is upon us. We are 1 week away from the draft. Now, we do know Victor Wembanyama is going to be the first overall pick. You got $20,000 laying around. Go win yourself a $300. Go invest it in Victor Wembanyama to be the first overall selection. Again, it's going to be it. We always say he's going to get abducted by aliens. It doesn't matter. They will draft him on the off chance the aliens decide to return him for whatever reason. So he's going to be it.
I still like the quote from a source at the combine of an NBA front office source of, he could come in with a torn ACL and we'd still sign him to a second contract on day one if we could.
Yep. No, that's, somebody asked me that the other day. Like, hey, if he gets injured during these playoffs that he's playing in, is it, no, I'm like, nope, doesn't matter. No, especially at this point, too, they're so young. Repair the ACL, because yep, we're going to be, you're going to be fine. By the way, speaking of Wembanyama, we did get news. Sad news. Did you see this?
What, his team lost?
No. No summer league, it looks like.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
I was talking to Mitch Moss about this the other day.
I'm not shocked, but
I'm sad. Like, one of the things is I was going to try. I think we're going to be out there. I'm not entirely sure. I haven't heard any confirmation. Maybe I'm not one of them, but I'll get my way in there. I've got connections. And I was excited. I was going to watch it. And then sounds like maybe no summer league.
Oh, you'll be there. You'll be there.
I can't wait. All right. Either way. So when we now, it's done. We're done. We don't have to do it. Move on. First overall pick. The intrigue, of course, starts at 2. Now, this is where it gets pretty fascinating, because let's tie this back to last year. Not until the day of did we know that Paolo Banchero was going to be the first overall pick by the Orlando Magic. We have heard nothing out of Charlotte that indicates anything but Brandon Miller being the second overall pick. And we haven't heard any outright reports. Everything you hear is, everything I hear is that Charlotte likes Brandon Miller. You know, you had we had a news story, Kelly, that you mentioned the other day. It was that Scoot Henderson had went to Charlotte, essentially wowed them in the workout, and then the odds moved in Brandon Miller's favor.
Even after
the workout. So, like, nothing is really telling us that Scoot Henderson is going to be the second overall pick. And I feel very confident it's one of the two. I don't think Amen Thompson, who we'll talk about momentarily, is moving up at all to get in there.
I think the other one that's weird, and look, this gets a little, like, these are really interesting to talk about. We're going to talk about, we're going to record a podcast later with Luke Swain to talk NBA draft, you and I are.
At Vegas Refund on Twitter, right?
That's right. We're going to get into all this. He was on Follow the Money yesterday. Great draft better. We're going to get into all this. You and I do have bets in already on these first few picks, but man, like, the second pick, like you said, we really haven't heard anything but it looking like it's going to be Brandon Miller. I think the other one that's important to bring up is think of the most recent report that we got, what, a day and a half ago, of what was it? The Pelicans interested in moving up to 2 or 3. Everybody wants to connect to 3 because we think that Portland would be more willing to trade that pick, but okay, the report was 2 or 3. Yet when that came out, these odds, Brandon Miller has just become more of a favorite to go number 2. Right. And reminder, the Pelicans' whole thing is that they're interested in Scoot Henderson.
Yep.
So, I don't know if I would bet it at this point at this number, just in case JVT. But man, it's sure looking like it's going to be him number 2.
You're talking betting Brandon Miller minus 250. I that's the thing. This is informationally based, and I would say every bit of information ties Miller here. And if that's the case, then minus 250, as we've talked about before in draft betting, you know, I know people balk at certain prices. It shouldn't be the case. It should be if you have value, whether or not, you know, the prices regard. Like, if you have value in a price, you bet it. And I would think, given the information, that there's value minus 250 because it seems it's going to be the case. To your point, though, it's a really good point to say we're just assuming that it's number three because Portland does have the motivation to make the deal.
Right.
They have the third overall pick. They want to add talent to their team. They feel like they have a championship window. All of those things come together to make that possible.
So if I was going to make a bet, right, on based off of the Brandon Miller, Scoot Henderson, or where it's going, it would be Scoot number three.
Yep.
Right, and that's where we're seeing minus 185.
That's
why
I wrote that yesterday.
Yeah.
So in the column I wrote up yesterday, there were two bets to make coming out of all that news. It was Henderson minus 185 to go third overall, and it was a small play on Portland to win the NBA Finals at 125-1, because those two things, if this happens like some of the rumblings are, then those two things would be tied at the hip. Because if they trade up there, and here's the thing too, Kelly, if they trade to number three, there's obviously universe.
There's a third one you get out of there. Dave back to the Blazers at minus 200.
Yeah, if to add a third
they're
one.
All correlated.
Yep, they're all correlated together. And there's a universe in which New Orleans moves up to number three. But I don't think I'll put it this way. I feel like New Orleans is moving up to three. They've got a pretty good idea that Brandon Miller's going to.
Right.
So if that happens, I think these prices are going to skyrocket on both of these guys. Brandon Miller is going to go well over $4, and of course Scoot Henderson well over that price too. Might even be higher.
But I
don't think the Pelicans are making that move unless they know that Henderson's going to be there.
If for some reason that trade comes before draft night, mm-hmm. yes, run to bet this is what I would say. Right,
yep.
That is before they get adjusted because they will be wildly adjusted.
And that's a great point too. Again, league year starts after the draft. So we're going to see the whole thing where players get drafted, they put on the hats of teams they're never going to play for. We see it all the time. Portland's probably going to draft Scoot Henderson.
Right.
More than likely, no matter what's going to happen, Portland's going to call Scoot Henderson's name. He's going to wear a Portland cap.
And the rights to him will be traded. Yes.
Exactly. So we'll see if that's the case. So that's our top three. I think that these are accurately priced. Where it gets really interesting is 4 and 5, obviously. Very quietly, for those who haven't really been keeping track of what's been happening around this. Amen Thompson, this is what I hate, Kelly. I hate the term has been sliding because it indicates that a guy like Amen Thompson is somehow, when he's being evaluated, getting worse. I think what it really is that we as a collective are getting more information and realizing that Amen Thompson is not this lock prospect that everybody initially thought he was when these draft odds were set. A prime example, for those who don't know, Amen Thompson in his matchup with his brother Asar was at one point minus 700 to go ahead of him. He's down to minus 220 because, again, the gap between these two really isn't as big as the initial thought was. Amen is a more popular name, but in terms of their game, they're quite comparable. But I want us to focus in on the second one. So one of the things that you and I discussed, and we had Rafael Barlow on the big board, about a month ago?
Yeah.
We talked about Cam Whitmore. Cam Whitmore is like the riser in this draft. Cam Whitmore, by all accounts, is locked into being a top five pick, which is why, too, we talk about information. Cam Whitmore minus 350, under 5.5. I will talk about this later with Luke Swain, but I still think even minus 350, given all the information out there, that he's a lock to be a top five pick. The question now is, as we talked with Barlow, he thought 5 was he's going at 5.
And I bet that.
He might go 4. But what's really fascinating about this draft, Houston is also another intriguing team because Houston, we don't know what they're going to do with if they're going to land Harden. We don't know what their plans are. By all accounts, the Rockets are a team that are actually looking to accelerate their timeline. They were talking about teams like guys like Austin Reeves, Brook Lopez. These are the names that have been tied to the Rockets in terms of free agency and acquisitions in the offseason.
Middleton?
Yeah, Chris Middleton.
Like, what?
So the fourth overall pick could actually be up for grabs, and that could change everything with this draft. But it ties into Whitmore, and I would say, I think the takeaway, would you actually balk at laying 350 with Whitmore to be under 5.5? Because I think that's the way to go. I actually think that's cheap.
I do think that's the way to go. That's a bankroll, question. Are you willing to lay that kind of price? I think that's the bet, though. I'm with you completely. I don't know if I have a bet on him to go number 5.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I don't know if I'd gamble on trying to figure out if he's going to go number 4 or number 5. Because to your point, he's been the guy who's been kind of steadily rising. Now, just personally, I don't know if you know this, JVT, but I'm not a professional basketball coach, scout, or anything. But the video work I've done on Amen Thompson, I'm falling more in love with this kid, watching this kid's game, man. So the question I think with Houston is, okay, you're right, that's a big storyline. Are they going to add some of these vets and try – I don't turn into a win-now team.
Right. Like, and can I specify really quickly, because I'm in Thompson, when you've watched him, he is going to be a lead guard.
Yes.
He's going to be a guard. And so if you're going to go get James Harden, you already have Jalen Green, and you're going to have Kevin Porter on the roster, it just doesn't make sense.
Right. So the question is if they are maybe willing to move that pick. Again, we've heard other teams – there are – one of the things we have heard a lot of reports on – there are multiple teams that are reportedly interested in moving up, right? We've heard the Magic. We've heard the Pacers. We've heard, man, there was one team even further back, obviously, but obviously the Pelicans we talked about already. There's been a lot of reports about these teams seemingly eager to move up. But the question is, after what players and at what point are they not interested anymore? But I think if Houston ends up wanting to go more the veteran route, then it becomes best player on the board remaining, what team wants to go get him, in my opinion. But if you're talking a guard, like, and a leap, I mean, he's going to be a point guard, Ben Thompson, like, the Magic make a lot of sense to me, trying to go up and get him. And that's only a couple picks they got to move up.
Yeah, this is, and the tough part about, like, now that this buildup is, and this is why you really got to pay attention throughout the lead up, is so much has moved over the last few months as these have been. For example, so Asar Thompson is also, I think you consider him a riser. At one point, Jairus Walker out of Houston in their matchup was a minus 250 favorite to go before Asar Thompson. Asar Thompson is now minus 150 over Jairus Walker. Like, like Walker's one of those guys. He seemed to be a lock for the top five if you just looked at the market initially. Now, make the case that minus 190 and over 6.5 would be the way to go for a guy like Walker. All right, we got plenty left to do. Remember, later today, we're going to be recording Hartman Handicapper. It's going to be a great episode. Luke Swain's going to be with us. That Vegas refund to get into this in the nitty and the gritty. When we come back, though, let's talk a little bit more about what we have in store for us. How about Major League Baseball? Joe Sheehan, the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, is going to join us. We have a lot to discuss in MLB on the other side.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A lot of neato stuff up on the website if you're a pro subscriber. How about our Picks at a Glance page? You can easily sort through picks from hosts and guests. You can also check out our top VSiN experts leaderboard, which of course indicates which bettors and hosts and guests are performing at their peak when it comes to selecting winners. Introductory offer for those who are not subscribers at $9.99. Check it out now, vsin.com/subscribe. Remember, the picks page, just one of many ways VSiN's here trying to help. Check out that and all the tools we have to offer up at the website at vsin.com. Also, up on the website, a lot of great information in terms of write-ups as well. Headline story for the day. Kelly, what do you think the headline story is over at VSiN.com?
U.S. Open.
Yep.
Wes Reynolds breaks it all down.
Yep. U.S. Open best bets. Check it all out.
Boom.
Still some matchups that are up for guys that aren't on the course yet. We do have some guys that are playing right now. Of course, we are underway. Ever since Tommy Fleetwood's first tee shot went into a bunker, I have not checked. So that's out of fear. It's out of fear.
Okay.
So I won't go. I won't go check, even though he's not my only golfer. That I have. All right, let's welcome in our next guest, Joe Sheehan, the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, at Joe_Sheehan, is nice enough to give us some time. Joe, thank you very much. Appreciate it. John here filling in for Gil. So I wanted to start with the American League East, and actually wanted to start with a specific team. So I was going through some of these numbers. Since coming off the IL, Garrett Whitlock's been pretty darn good for the Red Sox rotation, if you're looking at it. What is it, 4 starts, 23 innings, 313 ERA, 301 FIP. I think there's some intriguing arms in this Red Sox rotation that I think could perform a little bit better. Some of the numbers would indicate it. I don't think I want to look at Boston, obviously well back in the AL East, to make any noise there. But is it crazy to look at Boston at like 750 to make the playoffs this year? What are your expectations for the Red Sox as we kind of continue to watch the sample size grow?
No, not at all. I think that you've got a team that, even though they're in last place and that's going to be the headline, they're probably the sixth best team in the league and, you know, one of the 10 best teams in baseball. You've got to look at the American League, and especially the American League East this year, through kind of filtering the glasses and see, you know, just how tough the schedules these teams are playing. The Red Sox, they're a 500 team against the toughest schedule in baseball. So they have the talent base there. I'm a little bit concerned about the offense more than the pitching. You mentioned Whitlock. They've been trying to convert him to a starter for a couple of years now. And there's a question as to whether he's going to be able to hold up in that role. But if you look at him now, you know, maybe he can get 20 starts out of him. Well, you don't even need it. Maybe 18 starts out of him the rest of the year. We've seen what he can do with the command, a 33-7 strikeout-to-walk ratio this year, even counting the performance before the injury. So he's going to be a big part of any run that they make. The Red Sox are one of a number of American League teams that have some tough decisions to make in these next couple of weeks. Are they going to add, excuse me, because they're good, or are they going to not add because, hey, they're 11 games back of the Rays and, as you mentioned, out of the wild card race? I think the decisions that Chaim Bloom has to make here are very difficult.
The other arm that I think really intrigues me, so I've got him circled as a guy to potentially play on here a little bit as we move forward, and he didn't get the run support last time out. Am I right in reading into Tanner Houck as a guy who's got some better things coming for him, like expected ERA 3.86, xFIPs of 3.71? At the very least, he's better than the surface glance as his ERA would indicate, right? This is kind of part of the reason why I'm intrigued by this team. It's a guy like Houck who I think is a pretty good buy-low candidate on a day-to-day basis going forward. Am I right in thinking that?
I worry about how deep he's going to be able to work into games.
Okay.
There's another pitcher who came up as a starter. They used him out at the bullpen mostly last year. He's really an 18-fly guy. Go through the lineup twice, get him out of the game. Now, that can still help you. I mean, I think if you're talking about playing on him, I'm talking about playing on him in first five. I want to stay away a little bit from that Red Sox bullpen. I want to make sure that Houck has the greatest impact on my bet. But I don't know that he's going to give you length within the game. So if you look at it from a fantasy standpoint, strikeouts ratio is 5, but you're not going to get the W's out of them.
All right, let's talk a little bit nearer to the top here. So we watched the New York Yankees split that Subway Series with the Mets, won the first one, took it on the chin last night in a 4-3 loss. This has been a lineup that if you look at like the glut of it without Aaron Judge, it has not really been great. What are we expecting for New York as we move forward? What do we expect out of this lineup? Because I was reading an article the other day. It sounds like they're going to be patient with Judge in terms of his recovery. So what does that mean for this offense as we move forward into a pretty key series on the road against Boston?
It means pain.
Yeah.
$297 million in the outfield is Jake Bowers, Billy McKinney, and Willie Calhoun. And I get that that's because of injuries, but that's waiver bait. I mean, that's literally just waiver bait in your starting outfield. So it's a problem. We saw this last year. If you looked at the Yankees in the second half of last year, it was Aaron Judge and the Judgettes. And they're getting some help this year. I mean, Anthony Rizzo's been okay. Glaber Torres has been okay. But there is nothing on this roster like Judge. He drives the entire offense. And when he's not around, this is a well below average offense. If you go into prior to the series of the Mets, I looked, they were actually 21st in WOBA in June, which is a proxy for them missing Judge. So this is a team that's really, even with Judge, it had become more of a pitching and defense team. And without him, it's a team that has to win those 4-3 games like it lost last night.
So is there anything big picture to play here? I know they're just over 2-1 to miss the playoffs. Do you think it really gets that bad, or is this just going to be a mundane team that makes their way in and just waiting for Judge to come back?
I'm doubtful. The Orioles are better than I thought they would be. The Rangers are better than I thought they would be. So if you look at relative to April, where I might have had the Yankees in the playoffs, I'm now looking at the roster as it stands right now and the uptick in competition and thinking they're going to miss. In terms of, actionable information, there's a perception of the Bronx Bombers. I think that gets built into a lot of lines. I'm not sure the market has caught up to how bad this offense is. Team total unders or even game unders, I think, are the way to go.
All right, you mentioned the Rangers. They have been my guilty pleasure. I am an Angels fan, so I am enjoying the Angels getting a little feisty in this series and watching Ohtani do what he did, especially, the best bat flip I've ever seen the other night when he tied the game and then, of course, gave him the lead. But the Rangers as a whole, so obviously the DeGrom news hits them pretty hard. You're expecting him to come back, be healthy, and fit into a rotation. But they're really intriguing because, like, their lineup at times, Joe, as you know, been putting up some numbers that I feel like are unsustainable. When you're putting up batting averages with runners in scoring position we haven't seen since the 1930s, I feel like that's not going to stick around. And you also have guys that, like John Gray, are really intriguing because some of the underlying numbers would tell you, like, he's not going to be that good as you move forward. What do we do with the Rangers? I've got him at 22-1 to win the World Series. Is this a team that I'm going to have something on here, like something legitimate, or is this going to start to kind of turn into a pumpkin as we get closer to the end game?
Oh, if I can find some not to win the division, I would be all over that. I mean, you mentioned, I believe in the offense more than the pitching.
Yes.
The offense, I mean, they've had some internal development that's been really good. You look at Jonah Heim and Ezekiel Durant. Josh Young is one of the AL Rookie of the Year favorites. I think the run scoring is going to be fine. I don't trust the pitching. You mentioned Gray. He's one of the, if you look at the pitchers who have a gap between their ERA and their fifth ERA, which is what they should have, it's one of the largest in the game.
Yep.
But beyond performance, though, it's volume. Nathan Eovaldi, John Gray, Andrew Heaney. Stop me when I get to a guy who has routinely thrown 30 starts and 100 innings, yep. 880 innings. This is why these guys were available on the market, because of the lack of volume. The Rangers don't have a ton in the upper levels. They've been using Corey Bradford. They called up this kid Owen White. I guess we could see Jack Leiter at some point. But that they're a team that's got to go into a market that doesn't actually have a lot of starting pitching. You know, maybe a Marcus Stroman here, you know, Eduardo Rodriguez if he comes back. I don't know if their staff is built to hold up for 162 games. So I trust the offense. I don't know that this rotation is at all built to give them the starts they're going to need.
Yeah, that's the intriguing part. It's a really great point by you, because I thought they would be buyers too, but I figured they'd be buyers with at one point getting a healthy Jacob deGrom back, right, and getting an arm behind him, and that ultimately isn't going to be the case here. All right, let's stay within the division. I will ask the selfish question then. They are in this scrappy series with the Angels. There is obviously questions about whether the Angels are going to move Ohtani or not before the deadline. I don't think that's the case. As somebody who's followed the team, I think they're going to hold on to him and try to make this push. Can the Angels be a playoff team with the way that they're currently constructed? Can they actually buy at the deadline and get something to help them out?
Yeah, you're going to like this, because I was high man on the Angels at the start of the year. I had them edging out the Mariners for a wild card spot because I like what Perry Minasian did in the offseason, building in a layer of depth with the Renfro pickup and Brandon Drury and Gio Urshela, building in depth that this team hadn't had before. So instead of having the sub-replacement level players like Andrew Velasquez last year, now they've got, you know, average to, you know, kind of replacement to average level type of player now. And that's really bolstered the team. Now, you mentioned Ohtani, Trout, we know about the stars, but they're now better at roster spots 3 through 26 than they've been in a long time. The starting pitching hasn't actually been, I expected that to carry them. You know, Sandoval's been a disappointment. Reed Detmers, Jose Suarez got knocked out of the rotation at the start of the year. But again, it's having guys who at least can give you five and not get you knocked out of the game. I absolutely think this is a playoff team.
Yes, I love it. All right, last 50 seconds, loaded question. Does Ellie De La Cruz have a shot to catch Corbin Carroll in Rookie of the Year race?
He doesn't. I ruined this. I got him in fantasy on a Sunday, yep. So he's never going to get a hit again. So I ruined his career. But no, I don't think he can catch Carroll from behind. But Carroll's just so good. I mean, yep. Carroll's going to be a down ballot MVP. That's an incredible rookie season. Yep. I think Ellie De La Cruz can end up being third or fourth, but Carroll's going to run away with this award.
Joe Sheehan at @Joe_Sheehan again, the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. I can't wait. I get to watch Corbin Carroll in person. I'm going to go see him play the Giants in a couple of weeks. Joe, good to talk to you, man. Thank you very much.
Take care, man.
Yep, you got it. Joe Sheehan again, Joe Sheehan Newsletter. All right, we'll come back. We have plenty left to get to coming up at 15. Daniel Alvari joins us. We get the information we need to bet the W. How about that? That's the name of the new show, too.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You go up to VSiN.com, you click on the betting tools drop-down menu, click on betting splits, you get a lot, man. You get money and bets for every single game. They're updated every 10 minutes. You get today's games and future events as well. Every single sport. How about this? NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, NHL, WNBA, CFL, USFL, UFC, MLS, UEFA, and more. How about this today? Baltimore Orioles so far over at DraftKings, 61% of the handle on the Orioles in that matchup with the Blue Jays at -1.5 runs. Get that and more. Check it out now. VSiN.com. Just one of the many ways we're here to help. I don't think I have an addictive personality. Right? You know, I'll tell you a story.
Yeah, keep telling yourself that. Yep.
Because I used to smoke cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
And then when I turned 18, I quit. And it worked out that way.
I love that. Let's just clip that right now.
And then
I turned 18 and I quit.
That's right.
It's like when I stopped drinking for a bit when I turned 21.
That's right. the way I quit, though, I was driving home, lit up a cigarette, and I was like, you know, I don't want to smoke these anymore. Threw it out the window. Sorry. I had statute of limitations. I'm sorry I littered. I was a young kid.
Yeah.
And that was it. Never did it again. Never smoked another cigarette after that. So I don't think I have an addictive personality. And I've been smoking for years. Trust me. Years. Since I was 11. Not that long.
Did you start to get cigarette breaks at work?
No, because I was still like
I totally pulled that when I was when I was a teenager.
I mean, I used them to just like go goof off for like 10 minutes, you know. I always thought it was incredible. Like, I have this crippling addiction. I need 10 minutes. And they're like, yeah, go ahead. Like,
I went to the supermarket, and it just always blew my mind that, like, once an hour, a group of, like, six people would go outside for 10 minutes. And I'm like, how is this fair? So like, in what world is this fair?
So my first—
I'm going to start smoking just because it's not fair.
Exactly. So my first job, really quick, I was 16, and I worked at Albertsons. I was a courtesy clerk. And we had this guy there that he would take his cigarette breaks, but he would take out this big tub of tobacco— And this machine, he would roll his own cigarettes. And I like it was fascinating. So he would take his, and he'd spit back there. He'd punch and roll him and all that kind of stuff. So, like, it was crazy. So I started, like, I had one or two with him because I was like, I just want to try this. This is incredible. But, yeah, like, that's incredible. Like, the guy would roll his own cigarettes on his cigarette break.
Do they still, are cigarette breaks still a thing?
I think so. You know what I mean? Like, I think, or do they tell him, just tough it out?
Corporate America, like, is that still a thing?
It's incredible. So. Wes gets them.
I don't think we're corporate America. Yeah.
So I bring this up because I think I might get addicted, much like I think Kelly is already, to this new Caesars app here in Nevada.
Oh, I can't wait.
We're talking like this. I got to tell you, FOMO is a thing, right? And I will say, and I readily admit this, is this like the best way to bet stuff? No, probably not. But every once in a while, do I start, like, I kind of want to put in a same game parlay and watching all these people do this thing. Like, every once in a while, I want to do it. So it sounds like we now have the option to do this out here in Nevada,
We do, yeah. We have the first option to do it. And yes, what you're leading into, I will definitely be playing a same game parlay today just because I can now.
Okay. So you want to put one together?
Yeah,
Is that what you want to do?
I want to put one together, JVT, but, you know, obviously, I have my golf bets in, okay, and that the same game parlays aren't going to really work well with that anyways. But, so I'm going to look on tonight's card, and it's, okay, so what can I actually play a same game parlay in? So that's where we need to have a conversation here this segment, where you tell me what baseball games you like tonight, and I'm going to be tailing along with some same game parlay ideas.
Okay, how about... Okay, I got one for you. Maybe they can add.
Rob Moreno just got in my ear. He said, don't forget about WNBA. I already checked that. No player prop options up, at least right now.
That's
maybe later?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
You can at least put the star players up there.
Yeah, maybe they post them later in the day. I'm not sure.
That's a question for Danielle Avari.
It is.
Coming up later. All right, so we can add.
If only we had someone ask WNBA questions.
Right, yeah. So it's got to be obviously same game parlay. So we're looking at the same game. So I'm thinking like, so I like Taj Bradley a lot. So he's a starting pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays. I think he is a pitcher whose numbers would indicate that he has some really good things coming for him. And last time he actually had the unfortunate task of starting against the Texas Rangers, who kind of got to him. Over 15 and a half outs.
He was your buy low candidate.
Yes, he was.
Yep,
he was one of the buy low candidates over the weekend. Yep. Over 15 and a half outs at even money against this Oakland A's team. Buoyed by the thought that the A's are going to be out here in Las Vegas pretty soon, but I like Taj Bradley a lot. So let's build this.
I'm gonna build this. Yeah, I'm building this. So we go raise money line.
Sure. Yep. Raise money. Yeah, because you want to add this, right? That's right. Okay, we're gonna add stuff to it.
We're gonna try to correlate some of these.
All right. So let's go raise money line. Taj Bradley over 15 and a half outs. You want to get crazy?
Over 15 and a half outs at plus money.
Yeah. I say plus 100.
I got plus 106.
Okay, nice, nice.
So you're building on DraftKings right now?
Yeah, I'm just looking and see if we can, some other stuff that we can add here too.
Okay, either credited with a win, total hits allowed, strikeouts, any of that interest you as far as him?
No, I was actually looking at some players. Like, so for example, like Jose Siri. Over half a hit at minus 160. Let's see. Hold on. Let me double check some stuff here. Jose Siri's been a guy who, again, a lot of this too, as I enjoy baseball quite a bit, but a lot of this too has to do with, you know, I'm kind of watching a lot from my fantasy perspective, and Jose Siri was a guy that I had on my roster for a while, and I was like, I'm kind of out on here, but he's on a three-game hit streak. He's not a guy who's going to get a ton of hits, and that's the problem. Hasn't had a multi-hit game since, May 26th, but at minus 165 here, let's go. Yeah, throw Siri in there over a half hit.
Okay.
And you know what?
Might be it. Huh?
How about Aledmys Diaz over a half total bases? Let's go. Build it up. What are we at? What's your payout, huh?
Wait, what was the last one?
Aledmys Diaz over a half total bases.
I don't see it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. This is the problem when you're trying to build something on a... on a different app.
Different team.
Yeah, different team. Yeah.
The other side. Got it. All right.
We're getting
plus 525 on that SGP.
Yeah, let's do it.
Putting that in.
I'm running. Sean was nice enough. Sean's got a work over there, Caesar, so I get to go get free parking and go deposit later today. I'm in. You've got me hooked.
Did I just miss that whole conversation?
No, it was while you were gone.
Oh, okay.
Comes over. He's like, because it's funny. It was one of those where he's like, those questions, like, you know where something's common to you, but it's not to other folk peasants.
Right, yeah.
So you get free parking to Caesar's? Like, no, what are you talking about? No, he's like, here, take this. Gave me his card. It's like, all right.
Sean's the man around town, man. He knows he's one of those guys. I've lived out here in Vegas 5 years now. I learned very quickly when I first moved out here, JVT, there's certain people that will always give you – they always got the answers to the questions you have about moving to a new place.
Yeah.
Sean McCollum's one of those guys.
That's right.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt, yeah, red card, so I'm in. I might not ever give it back. He's like, you'll be back tomorrow, right? I'm like, sure. Sure. Maybe I won't be, though. All right, really quickly, I know we're going to have Danielle coming up here in a little bit. Anything worth noting right now over at the U.S. Open? We are underway. We've got guys out there on the course now. The dudes who have been on the course the longest through about, seven holes or so. We do have three guys who are through seven right now. Two of them are actually in the lead. Jacob Solomon and Omar Morales, amateurs. Amateur is Omar Morales. They're both at two under. And then after that, those are your two leaders. And then after that, we get a whole bunch of one unders and evens. And as we said, you can't really win on a first day, but you can lose. So I'm going to go with Barry Henson, Hank Lebioda. Lebioda.
Florida State legend.
At three over and four over through six. I'm gonna go on a limb and say, see you later.
Yeah, John Rahm, one under through one, so he's clearly won the tournament already.
Yep.
Dylan Wu's two under through four. He's been playing some great golf, actually, this season, so keep an eye on that. You got Xander Schauffele, one under through one, so he birdied his first hole. Shane Lowry, one under through three. Some names up there, but still very, very early.
Yeah, Fleetwood's one over. DeChambeau is one over as well through three. So those are like the bigger names that are out there on the course. Coming up in the next, let's see, what do we got here in the next 20 minutes teeing off here? Hovland just hit the course right now, right? We got Stuart Sink, one of the more recognizable names that is about to get started here in the next 20 minutes or so. And then at the top of the hour is where we're going to get a lot of the other bigger names that we're going to see later in the day. But how about this? Yeah, we have to wait until about 1:45 our time to get Cam Smith, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka's not until 2 o'clock, essentially. Man, I don't think I can wait. So what time is this going to go to? Like 7?
Let's see. 2:30 are the last tee times our time. So I'd 5:30? 5:30, 6?
About 3 rounds. 3 hours for a round of golf. Yeah. Man, this is going to be great. All right. I get to ignore my family and my children for the rest of the day. Yeah, pull an old man thing and fall asleep maybe for 20 minutes on the couch while I'm watching golf. How often do you do that?
Okay, you know what? I didn't used
you
to.
You seem to like your couch.
I didn't used to do it much, JVT, but now I'm working a numbers game, working this earlier shift, right? And especially if we're watching NBA late into the night, man, it's not much sleep. And the problem is, end of the week hits and golf tournaments get going. And I'm sitting there watching. Oh, man, I doze off quite often.
Yeah, you see, you make a comment about your couch a lot. Is it a nice couch or you just own it and that's about it?
I just own it.
Man. Okay, all right.
Well,
I hear every time if I ask you something, I get a lot of I don't think I'm getting up off this couch. So I felt like it was some incredible lazy boy furniture.
Means I'm exhausted or maybe I had one too many drinks and I'm done for the night.
How you feel about your couch, I thought, is how I felt about my new TV. I never want to stop watching that thing. That thing's so brilliant. Oh, it's awesome. All right, let's wrap it up. When we come back, Daniel Avari, host of the Bet the W pod, we're going to talk a little bit about, keep hearing about this underdog trend in the WNBA. Guess dogs are barking in the W, so let's talk about that and get to the bottom of why. We'll also talk about the best worst team in the association and how the Fever are making teams sweat every single night.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets, bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining shows and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly, offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Gil Alexander. Last 10 minutes and be back tomorrow on the last day of Gil's vacation. He will be back on Monday. With that, we get to welcome in Danielle Alvari, host of the Bet the W. No, I know she doesn't want to say pod. Last time I talked to her, she doesn't want to put pod in the title. So just Bet the W. Danielle is here. The second day in a row I've gotten to speak with her. How have the last 24 hours been, Danielle?
Very good. We actually haven't seen any games since we last talked. Right. I guess we saw the Wings game go on and we thought maybe that would be an over, but it was a very early morning game. Arike Ogunbowale did not look so strong. But other than that, we have three games going on Thursday and two on Friday. So lots to look forward to.
Yes. So let's start with a 5 p.m. Pacific time tip in Chicago. This is something that I brought up with you yesterday that I've talked to you a bunch. Let's talk about these Indiana Fever for our audience, maybe here on a numbers game that didn't catch your spot yesterday or haven't known about it. Give them the background on Indiana, what you thought of them and how competitive they've been recently, because they're covering numbers and they're in a lot of these one score games, almost beat the Aces 2 weeks ago on a Saturday. What's the deal with the Fever and are they going to be live here on the road against Chicago?
Yeah, I think that the lines are starting to catch up to this Fever team that, as you and I know, over the last couple of years have very much been the last place team in the league, have been stockpiling these first round picks and have finally put something together here by adding in Aliyah Boston this past year. And now we're getting to a point where at the start of this season, we were seeing the Fever getting 8, 9 or even to double digits with their points. Rightfully so, because, again, this was supposed to be a last place team. But this is the year they've actually started to take steps forward. They're able to beat competition that we're shocked to see, frankly, and just came off of a win over the Mystics, right? They've already played Chicago recently. Chicago, on the other hand, struggling on the straight up record, but by far the best team against the spread in the league right now and at home. So this line being only at 3, I think it got down to 2.5 at one point. It's been bet up to 3.5 at most spots now. That's about where I possibly start buying in on the Fever. I'd like something closer to 4, 4.5, but I don't know that we're going to get it anymore because this Fever team has showed us what they're capable of doing. Chicago also took this game to overtime last time, only won by 5. This was back on June 6th. That line was sky -5, and we're already seeing this shifted down now, of course, to 3.5 or even 2.5 last night.
So one of the things Kelly and I brought up, and I wanted to ask you this because I was looking at this game, and there is at least one player prop up there. Nalissa Smith, 15.5 points. Mm-hmm. She hit it to the under to $140. Have you seen this? Two-part question. First, have you seen the development and additions of player props now for the WNBA as it's gotten a little bit more popular? Betting menus are expanding. And have you gotten into it just handicapping it in general in terms of player props?
Yes, have started to do it. I think it's exciting that more books are starting to actually put them up. I think that the bigger issue, if there's an issue, has been getting these lines earlier because it seems like we're getting them a little bit late and not getting them enough time to settle at times. But it's really cool to see more props added. Even first basket props is something that somebody I have on the show all the time, Calvin Wetzel, loves to bet and has been pretty profitable because there are people like, let's say, a Brittany Griner who tend to win every tip off and usually are going to be the first person that Phoenix runs a set for. So lots of cool props out there right now. And I have started to handicap some of these. In fact, I think a lot of the people betting the WNBA right now think that these props, much like the NBA, are where the softer market is because they're just not as sharp yet, even as the lines or the totals, which, as we know, just in the WNBA should be easier to bet as well. So I think the props have definitely been a spot where you can be successful. For me, in this Fever matchup, by the way, I was looking over on Aliyah Boston's points prop. It's a little bit inflated based on what she actually scores per game, but she did have 25 versus Chicago last time out. Elizabeth Williams had a lot of trouble defending her, so I liked her over 16.5 in this point spot.
All right, what is this underdog trend that I keep hearing about? Is this still going on? What's the details
on
this?
It's alive. Yeah? It's alive and well. It's so amazing, actually, because the last 4 games we've seen, so the one game on Wednesday and all 3 games on Tuesday, not only did the underdog cover, they won straight up. So absolute chaos is happening right now. Underdogs are covering over 64% of the time. They're 33-18-3. And home dogs in particular, which unfortunately we have none of on Thursday night, are covering over 71% of the time. They're 15-6. We have 3 road dogs here. They're 18-12-3, which means they're still covering 60% of the time. Not as great as that 71, but nevertheless, there's something about these underdogs and there's something about this league. We talked about this before the season started, that everything below those top teams, everything was kind of up for grabs at that point. And we're we're certainly seeing the teams that we thought would be more like eighth place teams step up into fifth, sixth place roles. And on that note, Washington Mystics, a team that I think was ranked, you know, the third best team as the odds going into the season, now dropping to the bottom half of the league. So lots of weird stuff going on, but underdogs covering and taking advantage.
When it comes to the issues on the road and these home underdogs, does it speak to home court advantage, or it's a little bit more difficult to travel the WNBA for these teams, right?
Yeah.
I think it has more to do with the traveling, right, than it would be playing in a foreign environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And then part of it was a lot of the teams that were on the road early, for example, the Aces, yep, they were on the road for quite a few games in a row. And they're the kind of team that's going to be laying double digit spreads everywhere they go. And like you said, that's really tough to do on any given night, let alone when you're playing a bunch of games in a row and also on the road. So I think that definitely factors in.
All right, real quick, before we get to the other two games here today, because we will see the Aces play as part of a very big homestand against Seattle. Brittany Griner, you mentioned her hip injury, mm-hmm, it sounds like. Do we have any developments or on this, how bad this is going to be for her and how impactful it will be for the Mercury?
Yeah, I had Dana Mattia on the show yesterday, and it's obviously available today to preview all of the games, and he brought this up that they're expecting, according to his source that he trusts, for her to be out for a couple weeks here, which is a horrible situation, obviously, for the Phoenix Mercury that are already struggling right now. I can't imagine a situation where this sets them up better to make playoffs. And this is a franchise that has never missed playoffs. And before the season, you could have bet them at plus 900, plus 700 to miss playoffs because it was that unfathomable. Even though Brittany Griner coming back from what she had to, she's looked incredible, but obviously health comes first here. I don't know that we'll see her for a couple weeks.
All right, let's go to the 4 o'clock tip. One of the teams that you were high on in your season preview that you wrote about, the Connecticut Sun, off to a good, mm-hmm, start, 8-2. They get to play host to the Atlanta Dream right now. 8-point spread, total of 163. What was the open? Any movement? Did you play anything here?
So this did not move much. I thought this was going to be closer to Sun minus 6.5, just based on how successful the Dream have been lately. The Dream came coming off of a win over the New York Liberty after being beat by them by 23 points at home. So went on the road and beat them by 7 just on Tuesday. Now they're at Connecticut, a team that they also lost to recently, also at home. I like to chalk that up, honestly. I called it a little mini slump where they lost those two games versus the Liberty and the Sun when they were at home, because they lost Ari McDonald, so they had to work Haley Jones in, who they just drafted this year, 6th overall from Stanford. She's not exactly the same player as Ari, but still kind of adding some new positive things to the mix. I like to chalk that up to that pretty much, as them trying to install her. And then a couple days later, they go to New York. They're able to beat them by 7, and now we see them at Connecticut. I think if the Dream are getting 7.5, 8 points still, it's similar to the Fever here, where these are the scrappy teams that are going to cover in those final minutes if they're still in the mix of it, basically. Two of the top offensive rebounding teams also in these teams, the Dream and the Connecticut Sun. The Sun are number one, the Dream are 3. So I really think this is going to be decided on the boards. But overall, I think that this Sun team has performed above our expectations. I'm still waiting for the offense to look a little bit more fluid than it has, because although they're playing faster, which is what they've wanted to do, they're still not playing fast enough, and they're certainly not scoring enough to keep up with a team like the Aces or the Liberty yet.
All right, and speaking of the Aces, 18.5, you've mentioned them, like the numbers are huge. They haven't been covering.
It was 17.5 last night. It went up to 18.5,
so the market's still playing them, huh, even though they're not covering.
Yes, looks like it. Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think we start get closer to 20 points here. Obviously, this is the first place team versus the last place team, but they have not been covering these giant spreads. They are back at home, right? They were playing a lot of games in a row, so maybe they're a little bit more rested. They've had a practice. They're back at home. But they also don't need to blow a team out by 20-plus points, especially when they still really put a lot of wear and tear on those starters. So they're going to want to pull them sooner rather than later. I could see this being definitely a cover situation in the fourth quarter for Seattle if the Aces do start to pull some of their talent.
All right. Insight on the WNBA that you might not know. The other day I discovered that Asia Wilson uses self-checkout at Target just like us. She was standing right next to me. So
wow.
Use that information
self-checkout?
How you will.
Nope. How did you spot her?
Hey, right. Yeah. How did I? Yeah. It's a good one. Danielle, always going to talk to you again
sure
real quick. Yes, I was
I'm
pretty sure it was her. I was actually trying to get my wife, like, go tell her you're a big fan. My wife has no idea who she is. I was like, go tell her. Go bother her. All right. Bet the W up today?
Yes. Up today. Bet the W. Yes.
All right. Cool.
Wherever you get your podcast.
Good to talk
YouTube,
to you, Danielle.
All the good things.
Thank you.
Thank you, JBT.
You got it. Danielle Alvar. You can follow her on Twitter under that name. Check out the Bet the W as well. What's up?
I like that move. Like, you're like, I'm too professional. I can't approach her.
Dude, I was trying to get her to tell her, like, just give her a simple statement. Don't ask for a picture. Be like, good game last night. You know what I mean? Just let her know that you know who she is. Yeah. You know? She's buying stuff at self-checkout. Let her know. She's a star. All right. We're all done. Tomorrow, I'll be back for a numbers game as well. Until then, everything we have up on the website, VSiN.com. Check it out. Have a good one.